He didn't tell me this was vest day. Come on.
I haven't worn this vest for a number of years, and I realize I'm not as big as I used to be, which is probably not a problem, but Mark did call me last Monday and said that Pastor Paul couldn't be here and ask if I would share, and I knew it was Harry and Joyce's special day, and so I texted back to him, "What are you saying?" And he said, "Well, would you be willing to come out and share?" And I said, "Certainly. Would you like me to share on something?" I said, the wisdom of old men or honoring the man of God, because I've taught on that before. Actually, the wise old men was the first message I ever gave. So I don't know if I remember it all, but I remember the passages anyway. But he said, "No, I'd like you to talk about the prophetic church." Well, I haven't talked about the prophetic church for a long time. And so today, I'm going to probably spend more time in the Word than just talking to you. I'm just going to share my heart with you share the things that I believe God is saying to us in this day. Father, we ask you to be with us, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us, that you would teach us all truth, that we might know you better, follow you closer, and love you more. And so we give this time to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 2, if you're following in your Bible. I'm going to start in the 19th verse. After forgive me, I'm one of the things that I battled this last week is I don't get colds as I'm up here sniffling. After a week of the worst cold I can ever remember. But it's all, one of the things I've learned about the Lord is that about the time you think, well, that's the Lord's will, it's actually the opposite. As we came, was driving out here this morning, I was wondering about his will and his timing. But you know, as Christians, we need to be flexible. One of the biggest problems in the church is we become rigid. We learn the Bible, at least we think we learn some of the Bible. We learn a portion of the Bible. And then after a while, after years, we become battle-hardened. We become Bible-hardened. And, you know, we sit, and I'm not just talking to you, but we sit in the back and we analyze and we grade messages and how well the speaker did, and how many times he forgot what he was doing. So get your pencils and papers out, because I do that a lot. And the older I get, the less I can remember where I was. So with your patience, we will start in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, from in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We're going to talk about some spiritual gifts today, spiritual gift ministries and spiritual gifts. And the first thing I'd like to say to you is, God has these listed, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the building of the saints, and we're going to actually read that scripture in just a minute. But he's not doing it to give you a title. He's telling us, when you see these things, you know what it is. You know why it's working that way. You know how I'm building my body. And we take these things as being a badge of honor. Well, I'm a prophet. And you have to say that in a certain voice. And some of these giftings, most of the church nowadays doesn't even recognize. But that doesn't mean they're not still valid. The apostolic and prophetic gifts do lay foundation in the church. It laid the basics, and God has called them to that. Jesus is the cornerstone, and God is building. And let me just say, when we're talking about apostles and prophets here, the point of reference isn't the apostles and prophets. The point here is, essence is, what it's leading to. What do they do? It says that they lay foundation. The whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord. You know what that church is? That's you. And so we're being built together for a dwelling place for God. God resides in our hearts and our spirits. And so this building, you know what it really is? A sheep shed. Some place to get in out of the cold. And some mornings we need that. So today, as we look at this, we need to see that the church is not a physical building, but a spiritual, relational building. You know, in a brick wall, you have one brick, and above it are two bricks, and then two bricks on the side, and then two bricks below. So every brick touches at least six other bricks. That's kind of a picture of the church. We don't know all the Christians, but we know each other. And by the way, I've been in a number of churches over the years, and when you have a time of greeting, you know, most of the time I see people go, "You guys have a free-for-all." But the point is, that's the church. That's what God wants. That's the church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, if you're following along. And the apostolic gift, I'm just going to touch on for a moment, is a gift of building. It's a gift of putting things together. It's a gift of setting things in order. And when we have a church that is flexible and mobile, it still needs order. And it still needs to be built. And I'm reading this just to set the stage that these gifts are given to us, but it's God behind them all. Verse 5, it says, "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder." We see here Paul is an apostle. And he calls himself a wise master builder. As we just read, he's one that lays foundation in the church. "But let each take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." As we look at the New Testament, we see all the letters that Paul wrote. We see him doing his job as an apostle, sending letters, setting things in order, telling the different congregations, this is what the Lord is saying to you, and this is what you do. Laying the foundation. The foundation is Jesus. The cornerstone is Jesus. That's the church, and we are the building. In Ephesians 4, where I'm going next, we get into the ministry gifts, where it says, "And he gave himself," in chapter 4, verse 11. That doesn't sound right. Verse 11? Apostles and prophets, is that verse 11? Okay, seems like it's earlier in the chapter. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give those gifts? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me stop here for a moment and just say, it's the unity of faith, not the unity of doctrine. Because instead of joining together in faith, we split with each other in doctrine. And most of it is stuff, let me just say this, the truth of God is so big it's encompassing. You know, the truth is not always the truth as we know it. How can a truth not be a truth? A number of years ago, I had a hip replacement. You're learning all about my natural physical ailments over the years every time I come and minister to you. But afterward, I went back to the doctor for my checkup, and I said, well, can I run again? Not that I was ever a runner, you understand, but... I tell people that are runners, well, if they tell you they're a runner, they'll lie about other things too, if they enjoy it. But I asked him, can I run again? And he said, well, that just depends. And I said, on what? He said, how close the bear is. So, as you're running toward the cliff of faith, is it look before you leap or just go for it? Well, the answer, the truth of that matter, depends on how close the bear is. You know, God will take us and put situations in our path, and the enemy will try to discourage us from the Lord's will. A number of years ago, Terry and I had tickets to go to New York to the Grammy Awards. And as we were drawing near to it, this was about, well, this was in 18 months after 9/11. And it was in New York. That's the last time it was in New York. We had tickets to fly in. And it started to snow. Well, first of all, we were thinking, do we want to fly into New York City? And we thought, well, we'll just pray. We'll plan to go. We'll plan to do it. And if somewhere along that plan, God touches our spirit and says, don't go, we won't go. We'll cancel it on the spot. Well, we drew closer and closer, and we were about 4 days out. We woke up one morning, and it was like this out. And we saw on the news that New York, that the airplanes had all been canceled. New York was shut down, snowed everywhere. And Terry, I remember, she turned to me, she said, well, I guess we're not going then. And I just chuckled, and I said, no, now I know we're going. Because that I just knew it was the enemy trying to keep us from enjoying what God wanted to provide for us. And we went. There were a lot of cars under snow and, you know, undercover in New York City, but we had a great time and enjoyed the Grammy Awards. Okay, now I really got off pace here, but to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of a deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by that which every joint supplies, every relationship supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, that's how the church is built, right there, is that Jesus has given these gifts that we wouldn't be tossed about by doctrine, every wind of doctrine, that we would not succumb to the trickery of men, deceitful plotting, but we'd learn how to speak the truth in love. And as we talk about prophecy here in a few minutes, that's the key, is in love. What we do should be in love. Now, first thing I want to talk about is the gift of prophecy. The Greek word for prophet used in the New Testament is prophetess, and it means God's spokesman or someone who speaks God's message for a particular situation. The same word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about ministry gifts, and that God has appointed in the church first apostles, secondly prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, and go on. One of the first things I want to tell you is that I'm trying to get in my notes here. All Christians are created to hear God's voice. All of us can hear God's voice. And the more, and you say, well, I don't know if it's God's voice or not. If your wife calls you on the phone and she says, hello, you say, who's this? Well, this is your wife. This is Terry. Who? Why don't I do that? Because I know her voice. Why do I know her voice? Because I hear it all the time. Because I seek her voice. Because I listen to it. You want to hear God's voice more? Listen for it. Be open to it. He wants to speak to you more than you want to hear it. He would delight to hear. And so we need to all see that if, as we mature and as we spend time, I spend time with my wife, as we spend time with God, as we read his word and we get to know his character and his nature and it becomes part of us, we'll hear his voice more. We'll be more sure of his voice. So, all Christians can hear God's voice, especially for, if they hear it for someone else, it's for the edification of someone else. God doesn't need little sheriffs running all over the kingdom telling people what to do. Now, there are positions of authority and order and so forth, certainly. But I had a Terry and I, many years ago, had a fellow come to us and he said, I have a word of the Lord for you. And we said, okay, come on over to the house and sat down. He was selling Shackley. He was selling a product. And I have nothing against the product. It's just that he said, well, we believe, God, that the economy of the world is going to collapse and this is what's going to bring it back. And he was sincere. I'll just leave it at that.
Do you have any samples in the back?
No. This leads to point B here. Prophecy is never manipulative. Prophecy is never about getting others to do what we want them to do. It's far too easy to walk up to someone and say, hey, the Lord told me to say to you such and such. And when we're only given our opinion, to get credibility, we add, thus saith the Lord. Because we really want them to hear what we're saying. And that's why if someone comes to you and says they had a word from the Lord, you need to judge it and have others that you respect in their maturity judge it. But prophecy should be encouraging. Scripture holds strong warnings for those who misuse the name of God. So be careful when you say, thus saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 says that prophecy is a foundational verse. That is a foundational verse, and it says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. See, we always thought these prophets were bad guys. And Mark said, well, Joe's going to bring a heavy word or a strong word. I thought, oh boy, here we go. Everybody's going to be afraid to hear what I'm going to say. And I just share love. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Isn't that a good word? Is that a word of love? That's not a hard word. The gift of prophecy is an immediate word from the Lord given to the church, usually individually or corporately. However, speaking a word